Welcome to the Big Picture Podcast, where we make sure you know there's more going on than you can see or hear. If this podcast episode helps you, would you consider leaving us a review on the app or platform you're using to listen? We appreciate it. And remember, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake. And now, your host, Larry Ragland.
We're going to talk about our topic tonight is the curse of AI, the curse of AI. And it is a powerful, powerful revelation. Something that really has been plaguing the body of Christ and the people of God since the beginning of humanity. Now, I know some of you are gonna laugh at me, and some of you knew that this was sort of a clickbaitish type title. But it really is in Scripture. AI is really mentioned in Scripture. We're going to show you tonight, and we are going to talk about artificial intelligence and AI as we have come to know it and what we are dealing with in our life right now. But I'm going to show you some things in Scripture about how AI has been an enemy of God since the beginning of humanity, and certainly has always been working against the people of God. And we've been in the book of Joshua here on Wednesday night Bible study for quite a while now. We've talked about the children of Israel finally, after 40 years, crossing the Jordan River, the powerful revelation of God laying down in the river. If you've not seen that, go back and watch it. And then, of course, we talked about the power of the shout and that not everybody's going to go with you. I mean, we've just really been breaking down the powerful revelations and types and shadows of how it speaks to us in modern day time. The story of Joshua, the children of Israel, and the conquering of Jericho. But let's remember that the conquering of Jericho was just the beginning. When the walls came down and they went into the promised land, and all the inhabitants of Jericho, except for Rahab and those that were in her house that were protected because of her taking care of the spies when they came in, their family was protected. Every other person, including the Nephilim, including the giants, were killed. And the possessions of the land became the possessions of the children of Israel. Now, one thing that you got to understand is that it's very tempting that when you walk into your promise and into your destiny to just sort of sit down and get a little bit lazy. But God said no, especially to the men, the warriors of the camp. The women and the children were able to begin to rebuild Jericho, set up shop there, start creating a home there. But the men, the soldiers, continued on to conquer the next city after city after city. And that's what we pick up tonight in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 through 9 is very, very powerful, powerful scripture. Let's read that, and then I want to show you why we call tonight the curse of AI. All right, let's go to the scripture. The scripture says in verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Now, I want to just underline that in your Bible because it's very, very important. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. There's a man named Achan. I remember a sermon I heard years ago that said Achan was a Achan, and that was the story of this. It was a sermon I'll never forget for the rest of my life. But Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah. That's another important thing to underline. From the tribe of Judah. Of course, we know Judah means praise. Took the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho. Here it is. Ding, 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 to AI. Did you know that was in the Bible? Did you know that AI was in the Bible? There was actually a city called AI. And isn't it interesting that it's the first city that they were assigned to conquer after Jericho? So Joshua sent men from Jericho to AI, which is beside Beth-Aven. And here's the key part, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out AI. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack AI. Listen carefully to what they're saying. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of AI are few. So about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shabarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites?" Keep in mind, Ai is the name of the city, but they were a part of the Amorites, which were also giants, to destroy us. "Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns us back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Wow. The curse of Ai. Now, that's very interesting because, you think about it. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness and heard about this promised land. Heard about the promised land that was coming. They finally get there. They cross the River Jordan supernaturally. They march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days without saying a word. Seventh day, they marched seven times without saying a word. And then the trumpets blew, and they shouted with a great shout. The walls came literally down. They didn't fall left and right. They succumbed straight down so that the children of Israel turned to dust, basically. So there was no obstacle. There was nothing for the enemies to hide behind, giant rocks. They were pulverized, and they went straight in with the favor of God. There was nothing that stood before them. It was a victory like no other victory, and just like God promised. But God had promised them more than Jericho. Jericho was the door to their promise, to their destiny. And when you look at the boundaries by the end of all the conquering, 30 plus some odd cities that they conquered by the end of the reign of Joshua. And you look at the dimensions of Israel, it's actually much bigger than what is known as the nation of Israel today. Major, major conquering happened. But notice that it said that when they went in, they committed a trespass. How can you trespass when you are entering a land that God has established as yours? See, when you choose to go through the door of idolatry and go through the door of rebellion, you are trespassing on God's land. God had determined that Ai belonged to his people, but the only way that man possesses something in the natural that has been given to them spiritually is through the door of obedience. So there was a man named Achan who got an Achan for something bigger than what was allotted to his family, whether it be envy, whether it be that he was just idolatrous, maybe he had secret sins, that he worshiped false idols, whatever. He got into Ai, and he saw some things. Now, not only did he get gold, not only get clothing and different types of things, he also got gods, false gods. And he hid them in his camp. But when he went through the door of disobedience, when he went through the door the door of a thief, he was a thief, okay? He was stealing from God. Then he trespassed. He trespassed on God's property. Now, this is not a message on giving and tithing and all of that, but let's not forget, regardless of how you feel about New Testament rules versus tithing or not, you can't deny what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says in Malachi that talks about tithe and offering. I know it's Old Testament, but he says, "Will a man rob God?" And then Malachi says, how could a man rob you, God? And he says, he robs me in tithe and offerings. In other words, he says, when you keep your tithe and offerings, you are robbing what is mine, because you are not operating correctly through the doors. Remember, God's word also says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Like I said, I'm not going to talk a lot about giving here. There's one more thing I want to show you, because this is not just about giving. This is about blessings and favor. This is about being in the will of God and receiving the blessings and favor of God. Let's say you look at this screen right now. If you're watching this, you may just be listening, but imagine if you're listening, just imagine what I'm saying. I'm standing on one side of a window, and you're standing on the other side of that window. And you come to my window, and you knock on the window, and you say, hey, you got any sugar I can borrow, or maybe some salt I can borrow? I'm out. Well, let's just say this thing I got in my hand here, which is just like a little plug laid on my desk here. Let's say this was the salt shaker, and you needed to borrow salt. Well, there's a window between me, and you can see that I have it. You can see that I'm willing to let you have what I have, but every time I try to give it to you, I hit the window. Well, it's as simple as opening the window. When you open the window, now there's no obstacle between us, and I can give you what I have. So imagine that window is flipped on its side, and you're on the earth side, and God's on the heavenly side. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So if you want to be in place for the blessings of God, you would want to be under an open heaven or an open window. And that's why I teach people all the time, if I'm going to err on the side of anything, I'm going to err on the side of staying under an open window and an open heaven. So when Joshua, and if you're still with me, you didn't quit me because I took time to talk a little bit about giving, okay? By the way, if you quit, you're not listening to me now because you're gone. But if you did, you got convicted and come back and you realized that I'm talking about you, then I think it really reveals how sensitive you are when it comes to the subject of money. So I think you might need to talk to God about how sensitive you are about that subject, that you can't even hear somebody talking about it. I digress. But God told Joshua and the people of God, move through Jericho and keep going. They went to this place called Ai, and Achan went through a door of disobedience, therefore he trespassed. And by the way, your sins, if you didn't already know this, I know you can't send somebody to hell and you can't take somebody to heaven, but your sins and your obedience have spillover effects. Your sin many times does not just affect you. It can affect every person in your family. On the flip side, your obedience can also affect everyone in your family. Okay, so just keep that in mind, that his trespass ended up bringing a curse on all the soldiers that was trying to go in and conquer Ai. Now, who knew that the subject of Ai had been around for thousands of years? And here's the thing about Ai. Now, we understand what AI means, right? Artificial intelligence. Come back to that in just a minute. Just remember that. Artificial means fake, okay? Attempt to duplicate, but it's not the real thing. Now, the thing that was just really, really jumped out at me in Scripture years ago when I was studying this is that AI was on the east coast of Bethel. God's word, it's very intentional when he puts things in there like that, trying to tell you the geographic location and stuff like that, because this is important to God. God did not do anything by chance. Every word in the Word of God is intentional. So it's intentional by God for you to know that Ai was near Bethel. Now, do you know what Bethel means? Bethel means the house of God. The word Bethel means the house of God. Bethel was the place that Jacob wrestled with God. Named the place Bethel because he said, for I have seen God. I've been with God. So I think it's important that you understand that you went through Jericho, and then God said, I need you first, before you go any further, to conquer Ai. Ooh, this is big. This is big for 2024 and beyond, because I believe it's a word to us right now. I believe it's a word to this generation, that the church is going to have to deal with AI as we go into this next phase. Now, we know we talk about AI all the time on the big picture, in the computer world, the digital world, artificial intelligence. But I want to parallel the two tonight. I want to tell you that artificial intelligence, I mean, the very name itself, AI, artificial intelligence, means it is intelligence that is not real intelligence. Now, it can be based on intelligence. It can be right by its answers. But it did not originate with actual intelligence of humanity, okay? Human intelligence. It's artificial intelligence. It's not human intelligence. But we live in a world right now where it's very difficult to know what's real and what's fake. And it's very difficult to know what's real in the church and what's fake. It's very difficult to know by looking through a screen just like you are right now. Many of you know me personally, but most of the people that's watching me do not know me personally. So you don't know. You don't know if I really am who I say that I am. I hope that you can sense that in your spirit. I hope that my consistency in the Word of God and 30 years of pastoring the same church with no scandal. I mean, I've been married to the same woman. I mean, I love God with all my heart. But you don't live in Birmingham. You don't see me. So what you see is a digital version of me. This is really me, okay? This is not AI, okay? This is not AI generated. This is Larry Ragland talking in front of a camera in a room by himself. Nobody else is in this room but me right now. But by the time it gets to you, it's been turned into pixels, ones and zeros, processed, and then put back in front of you. That's what many of you spend almost all the time of your day, just scrolling through digital things. And we're so fast, and things have to happen so quick now that we don't take the time to look at how the mouth is moving. Did one eye go a little bit by itself over to one side, or was there a glitch or something? Signs to tell us that that's not a real person. Now, I've shown you here just recently, and almost every week we show you how quickly the technology is advancing to where it's already almost impossible to know the difference between an artificial human and an actual human. But you know what? That's always been a problem. It's always been a problem with knowing what's real and what's not real. Now, I think it's very important that God said, go from Jericho, deal with AI, but remember, you're right in the vicinity of where the people's name of which you take on now, Israel, Jacob, fought with God at that moment and named this place Bethel. And I believe that the church is the first one that's got to deal with AI. AI in the physical and AI in the spiritual. Too many preachers are using AI to create every aspect of their sermon. Now, look, I ain't got no problem with somebody that's researched and done their sermon and, you know, have already delved into a subject and used some kind of, whether it be Google or some type of ChatGPT or something to say, tell me a little bit more about this subject. But when you get into, make me a sermon about the walls of Jericho, click, and it prints out a complete sermon, bullet points, illustrations, opening, closing, and all that. You print it off, get up at the pulpit and preach. There's no anointing there. That's artificial preaching. We don't need artificial preaching. We need the real deal. Can I get an amen? If you have not smashed that like button, smash it now. You know the drill. Smash it, smash it, smash it. Don't just gently touch it. Smash that thing. And remember, smash it only one time. Because if you smash it twice, you just unsmashed it, okay? So smash it, then get your hand off. If you have not enabled that little bell icon on YouTube, do it now so you get notified. So tonight we're talking about the curse of AI, the curse of AI. Let's get back into the Word. As I said, Bethel means the house of God, and the enemy is always going to lay a trap for you just as you walk into your destiny, and he will always. Artificial intelligence has always tried to set up shop near Bethel. Why? Because it's artificial intelligence. Can I just tell you something about the devil? Everything the devil has ever done, every supposed idea that he's ever had, which he's never had an original idea, everything he does, everything he says, everything he moves on people to do, and everything he moves on people to say is a pathetic imitation of what God is doing. He is on a constant pursuit to imitate and to create the artificial version of what God has for his people. So when they went in to spy it out, they came back with this report. The people are few. They told Joshua, the people are few. This will be an easy win. Artificial intelligence has a way of convincing you, of making it easier for you, convincing you that you don't have to work as much. It's making lazy people lazier than we've ever known. When you don't have to do the research, when you don't have to do your homework, we got college kids now, high school kids now that are saying, write me a book report about so-and-so book, make it this amount of words, and then they're printing out a book report, and they don't even have to read the book. So AI will always give you the lie that work is no longer needed, that study is no longer needed, that fighting will no longer be required in this battle. You know, you think about the world that we live in now. We live in a world now that so different than the realm of the Vietnam War and Korean War and certainly World War II. Because when somebody went to war back in those days, that meant men and women, especially young men, would have to leave this country and go serve in a foreign land. And many of them would have to go house to house, ground forces, gun battles, person to person, airplanes and dogfights and all of this. Now we have drones. Now we have robots that can go in and fight the battle, take care of the enemy, and nobody has to get hurt. It's almost like playing a video game. But war is still war. People are still dying in war. And the reality is this, AI will convince you that you're no longer required to sacrifice. And that's what AI did to the spies that came back and gave the report to Joshua. Hey, this is easy. This is an easy one. Look what just happened to Jericho. I mean, my goodness, come on. Nobody's ever seen a victory like that. And that was, we were against insurmountable odds. I mean, we're against 10 to 1 as far as soldiers, trained soldiers. This is a pathetic little army. This is AI. Come on, who's ever heard of a city called two letters, AI? Come on, this is nothing. Let's take it. But AI is a lie. AI is a lie. It ain't real. It's a lie. Say that with me. AI is a lie. You know, around here, down here in the South, we don't say the devil is a liar. Liar. We say the devil is a lie. AI is a lie. Let's get back into the Word of God. It says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it in their own stuff. I'm trying to tell you, Joshua, why you just lost this battle. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies. In other words, ran, because they had become doomed to destruction. Remember that word? Right before they went into Jericho, God told Joshua, the city of Jericho is doomed. Now, God is saying, my people were doomed to destruction because someone in the camp did something bad. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, which was the same command that God gave Joshua to tell the people before they took Jericho. Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have taken away the cursed thing from among you. Until you have taken away the accursed thing among you. That's why we call it the curse of AI. The curse of AI. So God makes it very, very clear. Israel has sinned. Now hold up. Who actually sinned? Achan. One man. But one man's sin affected an entire nation. Now, you are accountable for your own sin. But make no mistake about it, your sin will affect those that are around you. Now, your sin cannot send someone else to hell, but your sin can create a generational curse that is passed down to your children and your children's children. You commit a horrible crime, you're put in prison. Guess what? Your kids no longer have a father or a mother. Your spouse no longer has a companion. If you do something extremely hideous, you can fill in the blank. Well, guess what? It can become known in the community, the horrible thing that you did, the unthinkable thing that you did. And then, right or wrong, your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, your brother, your sister will be picked on, talked about, mocked because of what you did. Now, that doesn't mean that you should live a life in shame of something that you've done in the past if you've been forgiven and gave it to God and made restitution or whatever you needed to do to make it right. But I'm just trying to tell you, if you think for a moment that you going in, breaking into a gas station and robbing them is not going to affect the people that's at home, they didn't rob that gas station. But your sin is going to affect those around you. But on the flip side, your salvation and your deliverance will affect those around you as well. So keep that in mind. If you've sinned, ask God to forgive you of your sins and completely surrender yourself to God and watch how that becomes a ripple effect to all those around you. But when you take the accursed thing that God has said is a curse, that is an imitation, it is an artificial intelligence, it is an artificial thing that you have taken and put among yourself, your stuff that you own, your stuff, it affects the whole camp of your house. Now, there are things that some of you may have in your house that are natural things, physical, tangible, materialistic things that may seem harmless and insignificant. But there may be things attached to that. They may represent spirits that when you put them among your things, like Achan did, Achan didn't just hide them, he put them among his other things, like they were just the same as all the other things that he had. Well, they were not the same things because they came from the enemy's camp. Now, I don't mean this to be critical. I don't mean to sound religious and dogmatic when I say this. But if you're wearing a crucifixion or a cross around your neck and you've got earrings on that are yin-yangs, or maybe you got a fat Buddha statue, a Hindu god sitting up on your shelf and seems innocent because somebody gave it to you, was a gift, or you think it looks cool, makes for a nice background, whatever, you know, some people may be able to get away with that, but I still wouldn't advise it because the reality is this. You're talking about religions that these things represent that are demonic, that are meant to cause you to think on the lines of that religion. And when you do that, that negates what you believe about Jesus Christ. Because if you've got a crucifixion and a yin-yang and a Buddha and a Hindu god and all these kind of things, whether you realize you're doing it or not, your spirit man and certainly the devil and the enemy looks at that as you just feel like Jesus is one of the ways because you've put that stuff among your things. That's what Achan did. Some of y'all need to get rid of some stuff in your house. There's no reason for a child of God to be, you know, wearing earrings with a yin-yang on it. Oh, yeah, but, listen, I don't do the Hindu stuff. You know, that just means, hey, everything in life, there's the opposite reaction and all this. It just reminds me to stay balanced. Be careful. Be careful because These kind of things are what got Achan in trouble, and his compromise, his buying into AI, his buying into this is harmless, you know, this is artificial intelligence. I mean, they're still saying the right thing, right? Even though it's not a real human being, it's okay as long as they're still saying the right thing, right? Well, no, it's not okay. And I'm not saying that can't be used for good. But eventually, do you not see where this is going to go? Now, I've just transitioned over to back to our world with the artificial intelligence that we know now called AI. Eventually, they're going to replace us. And eventually, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the false prophet, that is the false prophet to the Antichrist, is going to create a being, robot, clone, whatever, but it's going to be artificial intelligence. And it may just be literally digitally created and not even actually be, but the whole world is going to see this image of the beast speak, and it's going to be so realistic that's going to cause millions, if not billions of people to bow down and worship the image of the beast and to take the mark. So that's where it's all going. That's the intention of artificial intelligence. You cannot stand against your enemies, the enemy, the devil, until you take away the curse that's from among you. If you want to see victory, if you want to walk in victory, you're going to have to deal with the accursed things. There's some things that you're going to have to get out of your life, and there might be some things that you need to get out of your house. Okay? Let's go back to the Word of God and pick up with what happened after that. The Bible says in verse 14, "In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought out according to your tribes." Can you imagine this? All of the children of Israel was gathered by tribes. They were all with the people, with the tribes. "And it shall come to pass that the tribe which the Lord God takes shall come according to families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come by households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come by man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in the eyes of Israel." Wow. Wow. That's unreal. God, listen, God has not changed. The accursed thing must burn. Now, we're talking about a human being here. Thank God we're in the new covenant. But what he's trying to say is, this thing's got to be purged by fire. And you got to get rid of the accursed thing. The difference is in the New Testament is Jesus took the penalty for our sin. You know, you don't have to be called out and physically dealt with. He was physically dealt with. But the thing, the bondage, the open door that you opened to the enemy, it still has to burn. You don't have to burn, but the thing has to burn. Well, what burns it? Not just hell. I'm not talking about you got to go to hell. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost fire has got to be applied to your life. It's called deliverance. If you've been bound by the enemy, if you've been bound by things that you've picked up that are cursed, that curse has got to be dealt with. You need deliverance. Come on, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout amen. I want to take this time real quick. Just thank you to all the partners out there. Thank you for all the super chats tonight. Thank you for the super thanks tonight. And all those that click that join button down below the screen on YouTube, and especially to those that have gone to our website and become a partner with us. Several of you have done that. Let me make an announcement to you real quick. The Bible study will be the first one to hear this. We just completed the agreement with Faith TV. And if you don't know anything about that, Sandy and I are going back on Christian television. You have helped make that possible. We are so excited to partner with Faith TV. Now, if you have DirecTV, you already have it. It's already on there. If you have Apple TV, Roku, Android TV, Amazon TV, your iPhone, your Android phone or tablet, any way you see, you watch TV, it's available. They have three different channels right now that are global. One is Faith USA, which, of course, covers all of USA, as well as through DirecTV, Canada, parts of Mexico. They have Faith United Kingdom, which covers all of Europe, and they have Faith Africa, which covers the entire continent of Africa. I'm excited to tell you, the beginning June 1st of this year, just next month, if you're watching this live, June 1st, we will begin airing a weekly program on Monday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Central Time. So people will begin to begin their week, with the big picture. So you, if you have DirecTV and all these others, you can watch that. It will begin the first week of June, and it will be airing on Monday mornings at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern Time. And here's the cool thing. Not only in America, but the cool thing about Faith TV is whatever you're on, and we're also on Faith UK, Faith Africa will open up this summer, later this summer, but will automatically go in June as well on the United Kingdom, and they will watch it on in their own time zone at 8:30 a.m., their time zone. So how cool is that, that it's not just 8:30 a.m. over here and then whatever time it is in the UK? No, they broadcast independently. So all over Europe, they'll be watching it at the same time in the morning. So the people of Europe will be starting their week at 8:30 on that Monday morning with the big picture as well. And you have made that possible, and I think you deserve a little praise right there and appreciation. So let's get back into the Word of God and see what happens when you mess with AI. So when you go into AI, and Aiken got an Aiken, and he started taking some of the imitation things, the artificial things, the imitation of God things, and mixing them among and causing the God of Israel to just be a little g with all the other little g's. Can I tell you something? He ain't the little g. He's the OG, but he's more than the OG. God is the capital G, the only G. All these others are little G's, which means they ain't even a G. Okay. Did y'all get that? Does that require an interpretation? Let's go back to the Word of God. Joshua chapter 7, verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel out by the tribes, just like what God had told. And the tribe of Judah was taken. Boy, this is important. He brought the clan of Judah, and then he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man. Can you imagine the spectacle of this? This was incredible. And Zabdi was taken. Then he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and in of the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done and do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils," watch this, this is powerful, "a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in the tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they were brought them to the valley of Achor. Wow. Wow. Unreal, man. This is one of the most crazy stories, when Achan was an Achan in AI. Now, one of the biggest places that the accursed things get into the church as a whole is in the music. Boy, I could preach right there. How many times have we seen Christian singers or singers that were raised in church, I should say it that way, sang in the choir, led the praise team, beautiful voice, beautiful talent, maybe a musician, was an incredibly talented musician. Somebody in the secular world hears them, sees them, and realizes this is a gold mine. And they promise them the world. One of the things they promise them is you'll be able to still do your gospel. You'll maybe a gospel song here and there. You can talk about, you know, how being raised in church and all this. And when they first come on the scene, they're always so innocent and cute, just sort of like these Disney stars that come out of Disney and Nickelodeon. They all just seem so innocent. Then they start a recording contract, or they start making movies, and they're an actor. Next thing you know, they go off the deep end. And they're involved in not just sin, they're demonic. I mean, they are literally doing demonic things. Because the enemy is always circling Judah. Because Judah means praise. And why is the enemy always coming after Judah? Why is the enemy always trying to bring artificial intelligence into Judah? It's because Lucifer himself was the worshiper in heaven. He was the lead worshiper. He led the praise team in heaven. This is good stuff, y'all. So he has a way of just sort of inserting and injecting just a little bit of the world here, a little bit of the world here, and next thing you know, people have forgotten who they are in God because they've been enticed by money. They've had to make deals with the devil, okay? So I think it's interesting that Achan was from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. The enemy knows that if he can bring pagan and demonic spirits into Judah, then he can bring it into the whole camp. The Bible says the curse was hidden. It was hidden, but it had to be exposed. And that's how demonic realm works. They work in darkness. They want to be hidden. They're like that cockroach that waits for you to turn the lights out and everything to get quiet. And when they feel that it's safe to come out, they just scurry across the floor and they do whatever they want to do. And they feel safe and secure to go wherever they want to go, climb on anything they want to climb on. The moment you turn that light on, they're exposed. What do? They scatter. Okay? So this is what happens when you mess with the accursed thing. Now, AI's goal is really artificial intelligence. Let's jump back into 2024 and beyond right now, whenever you're watching this. AI in our modern world is no different than the curse of AI in the book of Joshua. It is artificial, but more than anything, it starts with Babylon. Wow, just think about that. That's the thing that caught Achan's attention was not the gold. It wasn't the silver. It was a garment from Babylon. It had something on it. The Babylonian spirit. In fact, you trace Babylon, it goes all the way back to Babel. What was Babel about? It was about them trying to make themselves to be God, to create an artificial God, an artificial intelligence. The supreme intelligence is God. And they were trying to build the Tower of Babel to say, we will build this thing and we will become God. And we won't need God. We'll have our own God. And that became the religion of Babylon, became the system of Babylon, birthed things like the worship of Baal, had things like Beelzebub, and all of that came from Babel. And it's just interesting to me that they came right out of battle, and there was a person named Achan that went into this tent, supposedly to go in there to conquer it like he was supposed to, and he was hooked by a garment or a covering from Babylon. Be careful who you allow to cover you. Be careful what you choose to wrap yourself in, because it may be cursed. And so you would think that people would that Achan would have looked at the gold and looked at the silver, but what trapped him was Babylon. What trapped Achan was a garment, a covering of Babylon. There's a lot of people out there that's under the guise of a preacher, supposedly, pastors and all this, that are really operating in the spirit of Babylon because they got a spirit of Jezebel on them. They got a spirit of a controlling spirit on them. Babylon's evil, y'all. That is why in the book of Revelation, Babylon is dealt with specifically. Two entire chapters when this whole thing winds down just before the millennial reign. The religion of Babylon is destroyed in chapter 17, and the system of Babylon is destroyed in chapter 18. I mean, that's pretty intense. And here we have this story about the curse of AI, artificial intelligence, and the hook of AI, the hook of AI. What caused AI to bring about the destruction and to cause the people who had just seen a victory like nobody had ever seen in the history of military warfare turn their backs and run from a few just feeble little soldiers that looked pathetic. But the reason they were able to cause fear to come in these victorious soldiers who had just witnessed what happened in Jericho is because there was a curse loose, released. There was more than just the people there. There was a power of Babylon was there. That's what AI is all about. That's why it has to be. That's why, no doubt in my mind, AI is going to be the fuel of not only the system, the economic system of Babylon. It's going to be the fuel of the religion of Babylon because that one world religion is going to be created because of the technology and the deception of AI. AI has always been the trap. AI was the trap in the Garden of Eden. Remember when Eve was talking to the serpent? He starts asking her questions and he says, "Is that really what God said? Let me tell you what God really meant. See, I've known God longer than you've known God. I used to lead worship right by his side. I know him intimately. And I know what he really meant was that he did not want you to eat of that fruit because in the day of you, that the day that you ate of the fruit, you will be like him." It's always been the nature of man, and the enemy has always played on that nature for that man wanted to be their own God. Isn't it interesting that the tree that could not be touched, excuse me, not touched, because God never said it couldn't be touched, the fruit could not be eaten from this tree, was known as the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. What's another word for knowledge? Intelligence. God said, "That's my tree. I'm the only one that has the true intelligence to know true good and true evil. Any other person or entity on this earth that claims to have the knowledge of good and evil that I have, the intelligence that I have, is artificial intelligence."
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Big Picture Podcast. We hope it helped you, encouraged you, and empowered you. Please consider leaving us a review on your app of choice and share with family and friends. And remember, we ain't woke, but we are.